that's some dopey beats.
Isn't that fat?
Yeah, that's fresh.
And fresh.
Hey, well, let's not even waste any time right for this episode, right?
No,
it's gonna be the longest one ever.
We're not going to talk about anything
else.
We're
not talking about anything current
because we've got a big.
We made a decision, and that was that we're going to do commentary for the fan commentary for the 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles original live action film.
Commentaries.
So right now, if you want to watch along as we talk about the film,
which we share
stories and things like that, pause the show and go get the DVD and put it in.
Put it in your DVD player.
Put it in your DVD player.
Not in your VHS.
Not in your VHS. Get it ready to go.
It's a VCR, actually.
And we'll all start it together. So if you need to pause the show, get everything ready, and turn it back on. We're getting ready to hit start.
We've got popcorn. We've got combos.
We've got a combo.
Courtesy of Joe Younger.
Combos, courtesy of Joe. So yeah, hopefully you're ready. Get it all queued up. I'm going to hit play.
But this is after the New Line, okay?
This is after the New Line logo. So if you need to skip forward some, we're seeing the city right now. All right, so why do we decide to do this as this opening sequence is going? You know, there's a new Turtles movie this month.
Ninja Turtles.
And we were going to do some Turtles content over at actionfeatures.net. And one of the things we said was, you know, oh, there's closed captioning on this. Can we turn that off?
Oh, I hope so.
Let's turn that off. I don't want closed captioning.
No, nobody does.
Subtitles? You think that's...
Why would they make that the default?
I don't know why this DVD player does that.
Some do.
I hate that. So we decided, you know, since we don't have a time limit anymore on our episodes, before with Adele, we could only do one-hour episodes.
Adele.
We decided, hey, let's do, like, a fan commentary. Yeah.
That's for the Adele, and it's also for Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtle movie. And this was a film that we were like, okay, this is a good one to start with, because it's only, like, an hour and a half long. It'll be fun, and we see how to do it. This whole thing is going to be kind of just like you're watching the movie with a couple friends. That's what we want it to feel
like. A couple friends that you may or may not know.
You may or may not know.
Hopefully you do. There's Danny.
There's Danny Pennington.
Danny, you got a son named...
Danny Charles?
When I was young, I thought he was asking if he had a son named Danny Charles. It didn't make any difference to me because I knew what he was talking about.
You knew
he
meant Danny.
I thought that was a little odd.
Now, this whole opening sequence where it's, you know, April's doing a voiceover and it's showing all the foot doing their thing... the original, like the script, and I think the comic adaption had it, was that you would have gone through the manhole cover would have blown off, and you would have gone down into the sewer, and you'd have gone into the turtles' lair area, and I guess you wouldn't have seen the turtles, but you would have seen, he had the same kind of voiceover thing.
Yeah.
And a snippet of that is in the trailer where the manhole cover blows off, and like steam shoots
up.
Oh,
I vaguely remember.
That's part of that.
I'm kind of glad that didn't happen.
Me too. I like this better. I think that not showing the turtles or having anything to do with the turtles right off the bat and just giving you a feel of the city was a better way to go.
Pretty good setup. And I just want to... I'm gonna comment on it right now. The realistic tone of this film.
Oh, it's great.
And I think that this actually helps set up. Of course, this warehouse full of, you know, neon lights and stuff is a little exaggerated, but only slightly... And it helps when the turtles do show up, I think, to you kind of eased into this world, like this setup for it.
I do like that they have all that crazy stuff inside the warehouse, though. It just shows that they're stealing everything.
Yeah, they're taking everything they can. It's only slightly exaggerated, and maybe not even... There's April, the winner podcast.
Judith Hogue. As April O'Neil.
Judith Hogue.
We've talked about this before on the Turtles podcast.
If you know the show, you know how we feel about this.
A much better April.
Here she is. She's got her yellow raincoat on.
A yellow raincoat on. That was a cool little throwback to the cartoon.
Yeah, it was a good...
it's just enough. And I think she said that maybe they tried the yellow jumpsuit at one point. I can't remember. I thought in an interview they said that they tried it or something, and it was just ridiculous.
I'm okay that they didn't.
I am too.
I mean, I like her wardrobe in this.
Here's another spot where there was a cut scene. It's shown in the trailer as well, where the turtles kind of their shells pop up out of the water.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that from the trailer or not, but there's like water off to the side, and the turtles kind of pop up from the water. And again, I'm glad it's cut.
Yeah.
Because it's better that you still don't see them during this scene, that you don't know that they're coming. There's a young Sam Rockwell as the head of the gang here. That guy right there.
Oh, yeah,
looks
yeah,
up.
Yeah.
And he's also kind of introduces people at the... The foot.
You know what? He has been familiar to me the entire time during his successful career, like now, the last couple of years. That's where I've seen
regular menthol. It's him.
That's right. Regular menthol.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Here where they showed, I love this peek up in the through the
it's
sewer.
Great.
And before that, you just see the sigh hit the light, and you're building up this.
You hear Mikey,
yeah,
do the whoa or whatever.
They're building up this
the reveal.
These characters and this reveal, which is very smart.
Yeah, I love that they're kind of just giving you little snippets, and peeking up over the manhole cover is kind of reminiscent of the movie poster too, where they're all
totally.
Kind of peeking out of the manhole
yeah.
cover. Okay, the D word. Raphael uses it like 3 times in the movie.
Yeah.
When I was a little kid seeing this, 11 or 12 or whatever, I was saying, wow, they cursed.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But, I mean, it goes into playing that this was really not meant to be the cartoon. It's meant to be more like the comic than the cartoon.
Right.
There are some elements of the cartoon that are in here, like the different colored masks and the pizza loving and, you know, more of the personalities, kind of Michelangelo being kind of a party guy.
I had a friend that told me that he said the F word.
Ugh, that friend
when
lied.
I was a young kid.
And so here comes the big reveal. We get the Turtles logo that was first done on the Playmates toys. And then the first one you see is Leo. And they look so good.
They really do.
Even today, they look great.
I gotta say, they did a fantastic job with this. The skin, the freckles on the skin.
It's so good.
Even the animatronics. With the head, which Casey Jones said was hard to work with because they had to get it right, but they did get it right. And every moment I was thinking about earlier I'll talk about it when it comes, but I love the setup of Raphael's character also here.
Yeah, and they each have their own kind of facial
characteristics.
It's not just the same cookie cutter look for every one of them with different colored masks. They each have a different height, and they have different facial movements and facial
slightly different greens,
different walks, and stuff like that. Yeah, they're all just a little bit different, and it really just sells the fact that you know they're all individuals and they're all just like teenagers, and it's just one costume, and they put a different mask on every one of them, and that showed that they really tried to make each one different, you know. And I love the lighting that
I was just about to say I want to comment on the lighting
and the darkness kind of sells movie. The costumes more.
Totally, it totally does, and it sets up this whole sewer thing is believable because you've been worked into it. You saw that they came out of the sewer. That's how they're getting to these places quickly, you know, and disappearing again. So you're already sold on the whole sewer bit and everything. So it's not such a stretch to come down here. Even Splinter.
I think Splinter looks great. And I'm glad they went with a puppet for him instead of a guy in a suit because he needs to be smaller and more frail.
Right.
And there wouldn't have been a way to do him the same as you could do the Turtles because their build would work for it, but his would not. It would end up looking too puffy and kind of ridiculous. And I love that he's kind of thin and how his fingers are so long and skinny.
It's Yoda-like.
It is.
Yet it's the same type of believability and the same type of movements, and it's surreal almost, but it's very realistic. Mm-hmm. It's very real.
And I'll take all of these over CGI. I really will. Like
any day.
This seems so much more believable to me that I'm watching real things instead of just a cartoon being slapped.
I think people are coming back around to it based on things that they're saying about the new Star Wars film. I won't talk about another film, but love Splinter throws the book at the clock's ticking, dude.
And they're teenagers.
Right.
I love that. Even Leonardo, he turns and laughs towards Donatello.
Right.
They think it's funny.
Because he's also, that like, pizza trumps everything.
Yeah.
Like, so he's listening to Splinter. Yeah, he's serious about his ninja training and whatnot. But
at the same time, he wants his pizza.
You gotta eat. You gotta have a pie. Do you remember, do you have any recollection of having a different view of this than the cartoon?
Oh, definitely.
At the time?
Oh, definitely. When I saw this, you know, the cartoon had been around for a while. It was 1987, I think, was the cartoon, maybe?
Yeah.
And then this came out in 1990. And so up to that point, I'd really, and we talked about this a little bit on the Turtles podcast, but up to this point, most of my exposure to the Turtles was the cartoon, you know, and then the toys
and stuff like that.
And I kind of, I'd read a little bit of the Mirage stuff afterwards, after getting into the Turtles, and I'd seen them before in, like, ads for magazines and Fangorias or whatever. And then I saw this after reading some of the Mirage stuff, and I'm like, wow, this is dark. This is more like those comics.
Oh, yeah.
This is not like the cartoon as much. this is a much darker feel, and I really liked that. Like, I liked that it wasn't so far. And the fact that they changed the origins and stuff, that they weren't the cartoon origins, they were the comic origins, where he's not Hamato Yoshi turned into a rat creature. He's a rat that's been turned into a more human creature.
Well, it makes sense kind of with the turtles.
How yeah.
It was what I wanted to comment on was the scene where Donatello's skating down the sewer.
Yeah.
And once again, the lighting is very subdued. It's sewer lighting, you know. Yeah. But it's real.
It is.
And it's not like some, whoa, some, you know, big board in your face. And
it's an old beat-up skateboard.
It's an old beat-up skateboard that he probably found somewhere. And somebody is actually having to skate.
You can actually see the guy's hand move in the frame at one point.
Yeah.
But, and okay, so this guy right here.
The pizza delivery guy is Donatello, right?
He's Michelangelo.
He's Michelangelo.
Yeah. He's the guy inside the Michelangelo suit, which I think his name is Mitchell and Sisti, I think it is. So yeah, he's the guy that's inside. So right now, we're having an exchange between Michelangelo and Michelangelo. You don't see the Michelangelo in the
suit. I think it's cool that they gave
him,
you know, some actual FaceTime.
Yeah. Well, each one of them in the movie gets some FaceTime.
I got to get a new route.
There's this one here. I guess I'll just wait for each one to
happen. Yeah.
Two of them are kind of tough in that I don't know for sure which one it is. Because I don't remember. Donatello and Leonardo... I think one of them plays a Foot Clan member that accosts April in the subway, and then one of them's at the big hideout thing.
That's cool.
But the other one is more obvious, and I'll point that one out when we get to it. Oh, sorry, my phone's...
Oh. Leo's showing off some of his skill here. Splinter's probably going ahead and conceding. He's going to go ahead and have the pizza.
Yeah.
He's tired of it, probably.
Yes.
But Raph's coming out of Critters. I thought... It's just, and he can't believe. Where do they come up with this stuff?
Yeah, he's a Ninja Turtle.
That's funny.
That is funny.
It's subtly funny.
I like the disguise thing too. That
yeah,
he's got this trench coat and this backpack and this hat and stuff like that. And it's obvious that he gets out sometimes.
Right.
You know, he sneaks out and does these kind of things where he goes off to be alone because he's the loner. You know.
And I love this. He stops these punks, throws a purse back, and it's just kind of like. Not a big deal to him.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's trying... Maybe he's putting on this tough guy persona. He's probably watched a lot of, like, Clint Eastwood movies or something, you know? Speaking of tough guys...
Here comes the toughest guy in the film. Casey Jones. So awesome.
I love Casey Jones in this movie.
So good in this movie.
This is his best role. And, Not to take away from any of his other roles, but reading recently about how he never really thinks about this. He's like,
all the time.
I would too. I'd be like, man, I would not such a good time.
I was Casey Jones.
I wouldn't think about the third movie.
No.
But I'd think about this one.
And all these things that are happening are like from the comic. They mined those first like 12 issues of the Mirage comic. And it's crazy. I mean, Casey Jones was crazy in the cartoon. Like, he was a psychotic character that never made sense and always wore his mask and stuff like that. Right. And, if I can't put myself back at that time, but it would be crazy to think that kids that only knew the cartoon saw this.
Yeah.
And it was just totally different than what they were seeing in the cartoon. The characters the names were the same, but the personalities and the origin and things were so different.
Yeah.
That it's kind of crazy that it is this dark.
Casey's very likable.
Yeah, he is.
In this movie. But I knew who he was automatically. Even though I love that he had the mask on just for a second, and it makes sense that he has the mask because he's fighting crime, but then it makes sense why it comes off and why it stays off. But that's a cinematic tool, because when he shows up at the antique store, if he's fighting the Foot Clan, he's got it back on, and that's a big moment.
Yeah,
that's smart.
I can't wait to get to that moment because it's perfectly lit and it's great.
What I'm just saying,
and this fight is fun.
It's fun and it's well choreographed and everything. And you got these two guys who are really loudmouths. Both of them are just
the personality is very much the same between Raphael and Casey.
Yes, they're very similar.
And Casey doesn't seem to care that he's fighting this giant turtle dude. Like, it doesn't really matter to him. He's just like, no big deal.
I always felt like, and it's pretty obvious, that Raph is pulling the can onto his head.
Yeah. he's embarrassed. It's not really what's happened. All right, so you're going to see Raphael in a second here. In the back seat of the taxi cab, is the guy that plays Raphael.
Oh, really? Oh, that's him.
Here's voice. He's the only one of the group, too, to both be inside the suit and do the voice.
Really?
Yeah, everybody else has a different voice from the guy inside the suit, except for him.
I love Raph's voice in this.
It's perfect.
He's my favorite character.
He's very much a New York tough guy accent. You know, a lot of it is learned. You know, they're all learning how to speak and talk from probably television that they watch down there.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that, you know, Leonardo's just kind of a regular accent, and Donatello's the brainy guy, and Michelangelo's got the surfer dude accent type of thing, and Raphael is completely the New York accent, yeah. You know? So it's interesting to see how they each glommed on to a personality and an accent.
You know, this kind of scene right here, there are several scenes in this movie like this where there's some inner pain. Raphael's inner pain is being addressed directly by Splinter. And the mood of the lighting addresses it, and the music, and you can see the hurt on his face. I mean, this is an animatronic puppet man, you know, guy.
And a guy in a suit.
And you can, that's a...
That looks like a real
That looks real. I
thing.
Feel sorry for Raph right now, and I want him to find some energy.
I like the scar on his face, too. Like, you can see, like, little things that they just did. I was reading, or wasn't reading, but there's a new documentary out called Turtle Power that goes in the whole making of the Turtles and stuff. And they talk about this scene Brian Henson does, and Jim Henson, the Henson Company, were like, you can't get that close. Don't get that close on these things. We can't. They won't hold up when you get that close.
Yeah.
And the director, Steve Barron, was like, no, I want to get close. And it was like the closest they've got in a movie to like an animatronic and a puppet and stuff like that. And it works, man. It's just there's so much emotion in this scene.
Very believable.
Between a guy in a rubber suit with a puppeteer off to the side doing the Splinter thing and another guy controlling the Raphael mask. It's just... It's crazy.
You had to sell it because you weren't so worried about all the flash and bang. And,
yeah.
You know, it was like, we have a story to tell here, and let's tell it the best we can. And that is striking to me that that's in this movie because that whole notion is sort of lost on these, I don't want to say comic movies because there's some of that in some comic movies, but largely it's kind of missing from today.
Well, it just had to be surprising, too, for people to think of Turtles of what they were.
Yeah.
Then to see this and go, wow, this is actually a lot deeper than just pizza-loving guys that fight giant brain guys with inside robots and stuff like that. And it's just like...
You know what's odd is you said that you had noticed, you know, the dichotomy when you were younger. And I don't remember noticing that. I was 8 years old when this came out, I think. So
I was
a little young, but to me, I was just like... I'm going to see, you know, this is Ninja Turtles. I love Ninja Turtles, and that was it. I could tell there was a different feel to it, but I wasn't gross by it. I just thought, this is, I don't know how they did it.
It's real Turtles.
But this is real Turtles.
Well, I think the film so good is it really is an all-ages interpretation for Turtles. There's enough of that cartoon element and that fun element inside there that the kids that only knew the cartoon could probably just watch it and think it's just more of the cartoon. Whereas then, like, I was probably 11 or 12, 12, I guess, when this hit, and I was getting in my teenage years, and it was like, wow, this is like more of an adult take on Turtles. And then for people like my dad that watched it with me, it was just like, this is just kind of a cool, kind of sci-fi action film.
Right.
This scene, I was thinking about this the other day. You see all those three turtles, and they're crowded around this old, broken TV.
Right.
And they've got an old, messed-up sofa. And it's, like, kind of just a sad life. Like, I imagine being, when I was a teenager, if I had to live my life, like, okay, I look different than everybody else. I have to live down in a sewer. The only things we've got is trash that we find.
Can't interact.
I can't go up on the surface. All we can do is the three of us crowd around this little, tiny TV and watch stuff. And it's just kind of a sad moment. Like, but they're still having fun because they're, like, a family, and they got each other. And I know I'm probably saying it's too deep for what it is, but
I don't know.
It really kind of like, it's like a moment where it's like, man, you kind of feel bad for them. Like, it's just, that's all they have.
Right.
And they're so anxious and eager to get out there and do more things, you know, and not just be stuck in this little spot. And Splinter's wanting to protect them, and he's not wanting to go out and do these things and be exposed or whatever. And it's the right move, because if they get exposed, then they become, you know, a circus freak or something like that.
Right.
Or an experiment. And I like how Raph recognizes April, and you know he knows that
he has to get that smirk
on
his
face. I'm going to get that side back now. You know,
well, that goes to what you're speaking about. They don't have anything, and to have gathered those weapons somehow
must have been tough.
It, you, He's not going to get one.
He's not
going to
get another Cyback anytime soon.
No. So he's got to get it.
I've always kind of wondered where they got the weapons from. I thought maybe that they raided Hamato Yoshi's place afterwards.
Yeah, maybe.
You know?
Maybe Splinter brought some stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I that's the only thing. I would think that it would be tough to find those items. So, yeah, it's important to him to get it back.
Yeah. I love that.
So I think that, if I'm not mistaken, this head-foot ninja is one of the turtles inside the suit, but I don't remember which one.
Okay. This is the first time we actually see the foot.
And I love their entrance. Turn around and there's a group of them there. Yeah. And you can tell these guys are the good foot.
I love their costumes also.
Yeah, it's really nice.
They got those little bulb eyes that are mesh. And I remember as a kid, I was trying to take strainers from, you know,
to
from
make
the
them?
Kitchen to make these suits, but... I couldn't make that work.
I love this shot coming up.
Oh, yeah.
With the side being kind of dragged.
And it make...
Oh, I love that. It's so cool.
It's on.
And then it's on, man. Just Raph all by himself against all these guys. Yeah. And he doesn't care. You know, no problem.
Such a... what a chore. What a job to
That had to be ridiculously heavy.
Well, yeah. To be moving and jumping and doing what these guys were doing in those suits. I remember seeing...
Oh, it's crazy.
A behind-the-scenes... picture in some magazine of it was Kino. Ernie Rice Jr. was Donatello in this
He
one?
Was the stunt Donatello.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a picture of him just wearing part of the suit, and he was out. He was sleeping, like, in between takes because they were just...
They were, like, 100 pounds or something like that. Yeah. And then, I mean, well, you had the hero versions, which didn't have the animatronics and stuff built into them, but then, like, the regular acting ones were, like, 100 pounds, yeah. And you had all that rigged onto you. And the guy that played Raphael was claustrophobic, and he would have to take off his mask every once in a while because he would freak out.
I can see that.
Yeah, look at that beat-up couch. That's all they got. He's being cool, but rude.
I wanted to redecorate. TV news reporter, what do you think?
This whole set is so cool.
Yeah. Also, to comment on Raph's character, it seems to be the one that doesn't care, but he's the one that brings her back and takes all the risk.
Yeah, he won't leave her there.
Yeah.
Well, he jumps out and helps her when all the foot are attacking her, too, you know?
I think he kind of just likes to fight.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, but also, yes. But I think he...
And this is very much from the comic with April there and... The origin and all that stuff. And April's look is kind of a merge between the cartoon and the comic in that she's got kind of that tight perm thing going on. But you know, April almost looked Hispanic in the comic, and it's more of a merge between that April and this April. And I think the TV news reporter thing came from the cartoon, and she was a lab assistant in the old Mirage comics. So it's kind of like a good blend. And I think it works better to have her be the TV reporter character. Gets her more in on the action.
Yeah, they play that very well.
I like how the turtles are freaked out at the same time she's freaked out. They're also screaming as she's screaming, like, just a fun scene. And it's a good way to get the origin. How far are we into this movie already? 22 minutes or something like that? And we haven't got to the origin yet. And that's, I like that. I like when a movie doesn't immediately just slap you in the face with, here's the origin of the turtles, you know?
This was the one part I always found funny as a kid, because that the tiny...
Oh, the little puppets?
The little puppet rat doing his kicks and stuff, and the turtles jumping. And
again, it would have maybe been easier for them to do it like the cartoon and say it was Hamato Yoshi that was turned, used this ooze or whatever, but they're following what the comic was, and that's Splinter being in the cage and, you know, him becoming into a rat creature.
Kind of something that I appreciate about this film, also when it comes to origin, is not explaining where the ooze came from.
Yeah.
It's not important. I don't need
this film.
I don't need a whole backstory about, you know, the scientist and where it came from and what they're trying to do and all that stuff. I don't need that. I'm already caught up in this adventure.
Yep. This is all I need to know. They also cut out the element that ties it into Daredevil.
The turtles don't know. So why should we know?
In the comic origin, It's, you know, Daredevil became Daredevil when he stopped an old man from crossing the street or something like that, and a radioactive
sludge
chemical spills out and hits him in the eyes, and then that would have kept bouncing and knocked into a kid's bowl of turtles, and they would have all gone to the sewers together.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So it was their commentary on Daredevil when Eastman and Laird made it. So they're tied together. So they left all that out, the kid with the bowl, and just, but they're not saying it doesn't happen. It's just, that's where Splinter comes in, is he sees them there with the bowl and the radioactive thing, and he doesn't know what happened before that.
Right.
So just keep that out of there. I like the introduction of each one, too. You got kind of their personality just in the way they moved. You know, Leonardo, he's very, you know, stoic, and Donatello's kind of goofing off a little bit. And
Michelangelo's trying to win her over already. He's
and this looks great. I think we've talked about this before. This is, you know, this is a set.
Yeah.
But to me, that's New York.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
This is what informed my idea of New York as a kid. Like, when I thought of New York, I thought of this movie and the way it looked. And this wasn't even filmed in New York, but I just thought that that's what New York looks like, you know?
I didn't even know that. Well, this part wasn't. Was any of it filmed in New York?
No, it's all in North Carolina.
I didn't know that.
As far, I mean, maybe some of the far the city shot, obviously, far away. But I'm almost positive the whole thing's shot in North Carolina. Like, this is a set right here.
I kind of love that she thought that she was going to deter them with the pizza.
She's like, oh.
Then you go that way, and it's sort of an awkward situation.
Michelangelo makes a joke about the weird things on a pizza, flies and stink bugs, but then, it was such a big part of old cartoon.
And here we cut to...
Now she's having a great time.
She's having a great time.
She's loosened up around them, and they're fun to be around. Even Raphael's kind of having a good time, you know?
Good shorts.
Yeah. Whose?
The April's.
Oh, I thought you were talking about good shorts, like good film shorts or something like that. Or
I'm talking about jean shorts.
I know what you're talking about now. We've talked about April 1.
You never see April 2 wearing shorts like that.
And I'll tell you what, I saw a picture of April 1 the other day, and she still looks quite nice. She looks quite young, and she's held up well. I'll bet that if you saw a picture of April 2 nowadays...
Didn't we look,
you probably couldn't say the same thing. She probably hides pictures of herself.
I bet she
Paige
does.
Turco. There's a little goof coming up here. When Leonardo's sword hits the wall, it bends a little bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a stunt sword.
Oh, I saw that.
You see it?
Why wouldn't you? Why would you use a stunt sword when you're not using it?
Well, you'd want a soft one, so that way you're sitting down and you're moving around and you wouldn't hurt yourself. And you're just... kind of doing your thing.
No,
this is awesome.
The
minute he sees something wrong, pulls the swords out, he's in there.
You haven't seen any of them fight up to this point or be have any aggression.
Other than Raph.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Other than Raph.
A little too Raph.
Mm-hmm. There comes the swing around with the camera.
Great. It's crazy to me. The guy that did this, Stephen Barron, I think before this, all he'd done is music videos. And it just, it's, I think, so well shot and so well lit, and it, so many decisions are made to show you things but not fully show you things. Yeah. It's just, man, it really just, it seems like somebody that was really, really experienced that did this, you know? Everything's dirty. Her door's dirty. It's just, everything is very used.
Yeah. We're all sad here. They had nowhere to turn but to April.
Yeah.
And I kind of like...
That's great. Yeah.
I kind of like that idea.
I like that, I like that a lot, too. That's the only friend they've got now.
Yeah.
They've got her, and they've got Casey that Raph knows. But
sort of knows.
Yeah, he got kind of beat up by him. But that's really the only interactions they've had, because they talk about how when they saved April, it was their first battle. So it's kind of maybe more like their first outing, too.
Yeah, this is kind of the beginning of their adventures, actually.
Yeah. I like how they all have their belt things off. Well, I'm sorry, I guess they don't all, but Leonardo has his off. And I like that every once in a while you'd see him without the belts on. And it was just kind of a neat thing that it was like...
Yeah.
It's like their clothes or whatever, and they're, you know, an overshirt or a coat or something like that. And it's like, oh, well, it's probably uncomfortable a lot of the time. And it's just a decision that's just made when you're making a movie. Like, you know what? Let's not have him wear the belt during that scene. It's just a little something that just makes him seem more real.
Danny has been wearing this Sid Vicious shirt.
I think he wears a couple different ones.
Well, I guess it's just for 2 days. So
yeah. The Michael Turney, who plays Danny in this, when he got the role, like the director, Stephen Baron, he talked about Sex Pistols a lot. And he really liked, he was going through them a lot right then, the kid that played Danny. And he was really excited he got to wear Sex Pistols shirts.
I see.
I like that.
Yeah,
they're quick.
Like that
they're very, very fast, the
very
turtles are.
Very fast.
And they're turtles, which is
impossibly
funny.
Impossibly so, because...
But that's okay, because it's a comic movie.
That's right. I believe what's happening. I just don't want you to see my unsightly bathtub ring.
She has an unsightly bathtub ring, unlike Turtles 2.
She's got...
Where she cares about everything.
She doesn't have time.
Michelangelo.
Yep.
Michelangelo. Put the rubber snake in the fridge. He's looking like it's a trick table. He didn't know what he'd seen.
Yeah, he thought...
So he thinks April's got magic props.
That was a magic table.
April does have an Elvis bust, though, like in the Screech the Son of the Bell episode, where Screech's mom's got one, and they end up almost breaking it or something like that. There was an episode where they had the Elvis bust.
That sounds...
They broke it.
That reminds me of a Night Dad's episode.
It might have been a Night Dad's episode. Danny is a punk.
Danny is a punk.
And the kid that plays him does a good job of making him seem like a punk.
Yeah.
You don't really like Danny.
You don't like Danny.
I gotta tell you, Danny doesn't really have any consequence at any point to the things he does.
That's true, but he does realize...
He does have remorse.
Yeah.
And he does help Splinter. But he also got April's secondhand store burned down. He got Raphael almost killed.
He caused a lot of problems.
He caused a lot of problems, and then he's just hanging out down in their sewer lair and doesn't like say, "Oh, by the way, I'm to blame for everything that happened to you guys."
Well, he's
just like,
"I'm sure he got a spanking after."
I don't know if he did, because then when he got picked up, he told his dad, "It's just Dan now."
That's right.
And his dad's like, "Dan, okay.
Okay."
Okay, this place is cool if you're like a punk kid. I didn't think it was cool.
If
as a
I was
kid.
A regular kid, I would still think it was cool.
I didn't.
Here, you're just
I thought they were up to no good.
They are, but they're also up to some good. Look at this guy who's going down this ramp on his skateboard.
There's Sam Rockwell.
You can play some video games. There he is.
There he is.
Know what I'm saying? Got any cigarettes? See, that kid thought he was going to really surprise
me. Yeah. I'm going to smoke.
You see how tough I am at smoking?
Teach you. There, he was ready. He had him at the ready.
He had somebody that was handed him cases.
Yeah.
No big deal.
You can tell that Tatsu does not like all the kids around.
No, he doesn't. Why would
but
he?
But he knows that these are going to become the Foot Clan.
See, I think
you know?
The Foot Clan is never really successful because, you know, they're letting them, they're spending all their youth smoking and, you know, living
skating
up, living
on the
life. So by the time they're old enough to be a Foot Clan, they're probably going to be a little out of shape.
But then you see this.
A little light on the breath. These are the guys that have been brought in as older guys. And this red-haired guy always reminded me of somebody, and I can't remember.
This is a young Chuck Norris.
Yep. Okay.
That's what this is. He shaved his mustache for this role. Actually, they did like Cesar Romero did in the 60s Batman series. They just painted over it.
Yeah.
with a flesh paint. Testers.
Yeah, that guy was pretty good. But he shouldn't have lowered his eyes.
Never lower your eyes to an enemy.
No, that's what
you don't
I
do that.
Look at dig them pants he's wearing, man. That was 1990.
Oh yeah. I like how he says this, and then later on when he's fighting Casey,
yeah,
he gets hit in the stomach and he lowers his eyes to the enemy. This is interesting here. Okay, during Shredder's introduction, there was a whole sequence where. The four guys that got beat by the Turtles, including Sam Rockwell, are brought out, and Tatsu puts this red headband on Shredder's shoulder, and Shredder moves forward, and he just sits down on this mat, and they all four try to attack him, and he beats them all while he sits there, like never getting up, and he cuts each one of them and leaves a scar on each one of them. And then afterwards he has this speech about how, you know, money paid for their bail is, you know, money we've spent on this, that, other thing. But now this isn't about punishing them, it's just about teaching them a lesson, and now they'll all carry this scar, and they'll know what it means, and to have this honor, and that's when he gives the band to the one that they're going to show. So the whole sequence was cut out.
Oh, wow.
And it was in the novelization as a kid, I remember reading it, and it was in the comics adaption. And there was even like a sticker that had it in the sticker set. And just recently on that Turtle Power DVD, they showed it. They showed like a brief clip from it. And it was really cool to see it, and it would have been a neat way to kind of show Shredder's prowess as a fighter before the final fight, because you don't really get that.
Yeah.
Because the first fight for Shredder that you see is the last fight.
Yeah.
And seeing him seated and taking down those four guys like they were nothing would have been a pretty cool way. Like, see, they're rolling out this fight mat for him here. And now it's cut to the fight is over.
I see. I never knew that. I don't mind that they cut it. Because just like the turtles don't know, you don't know what he's got or what he's
capable. See how Sam Rockwell's holding his arm back there?
Yeah.
Where he's got the cut?
Man, I never noticed that. He's looking at it.
Yeah. So, again, you don't realize it's gone unless you know it's gone.
Right.
But at the same time, I would have kind of liked to have seen the threat of Shredder before we see...
It'd be nice to have a
Shredder fight
director's cut or something.
Oh, I'd love it. And, I mean, Stephen Baron, the guy that directed this, has said he has, like, a VHS copy, a rough cut, that does that has the original set audio and all this different stuff, and all these scenes. And I'm sure that's maybe where they got the scene to put it on that Turtle Power documentary. And I highly recommend that documentary. It's really good. Just to see that scene alone was pretty cool. I like how they have Splinter just kind of hanging there dying. They don't even care.
I was about to say, it was a good move to cut to him hanging back there in pan while Shredder is doing this monologue, this speech.
Yeah.
Because, for one, you break up the speech. Because if you're just watching Shredder the whole time, you kind of just, you know.
Yeah, like, you would maybe be like, okay.
Okay, we know you're talking.
Plus, it gives you the other angle. You've got the Shredder, who is the father of the Foot Clan.
Right.
And how he's kind of, you know, he's obviously using them to get what he wants and stuff.
Right.
And you got Splinter hung up, who really cares about his sons, you know.
Right. April's making bold statements here.
She's cutting edge.
She is cutting edge.
She believes in what she's saying, and she's going to tell everybody.
Regardless of what the station wants. They're trying to silence her. Tell her what
to
say.
Quiet.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I forgot to say earlier, why does Shredder have that wall of TVs?
Yeah,
it's just showing off. The Turtles have one beat-up TV. Shredder's got an entire wall of them.
Well, he's stealing them. He probably at some point said, I don't know what, you know.
Can we just put them all together?
These aren't selling as well as I thought they were going to sell. What if we just...
They stole that one, the beat up one off that old lady's fire escape.
Yeah.
How are they going to sell that? Nobody's going to want that. How Raph... Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. He's got that kind of this, like, happy smile smirk thing, like as he's getting ready to be thanked by her.
Yeah.
You can tell Raph has a little bit of a crush going on.
I think they all do. I mean, this is the first woman they've really probably had any contact with.
But for Raph, it's uncomfortable.
Right.
He has a crush.
Because he's a tough guy.
Yeah, Mikey will kiss the screen and say he's in love, but...
No problem. Even as a young kid, I was thinking about the physics of the end of that sigh, which they're kind of fat. I don't know if you ever held one. They're usually kind of fat. It's not like a knife sticking into a hardwood floor. It's not possible. But I remember as a kid, I was like, man, he must have thrown that pretty hard. Cause...
Well, it was on a string.
Yeah.
Like it was on a cord to keep somebody from getting hurt
when
they did throw it down. And it's interesting you say that. In the comic, there's a scene where he's sharpening it on the farm and then throws it through one of the girders and the ceiling or something like that. And I was just seeing that the other day and thinking about, I wish that scene would have been in there of him sharpening his size.
Just a comment on the size. In the comic, in the cartoon, and in the toys, they're more like a blade, like a knife blade.
Yeah.
But an actual size, not. I mean, it's like what it looks like in here.
I like that in this.
They're more rounded.
Yeah, that's just kind of like a cone or something like that, or like a stem coming out. And this is great.
This is.
He's letting out some aggression on the roof.
This is my favorite action.
Yeah.
Scene in the movie.
And Casey's up there doing his thing.
And you bring Casey back, who has been gone for, almost another 20 minutes.
Yeah. I like too that Casey isn't your standard vigilante. Like in the comics, His origin is that he's just watching too much TV with violence and stuff like that in the news and everything, and he just decides, I'm going to go beat up bad guys.
Yeah.
And that's the same... In the comics adaptation for this, it did the same thing, and I don't know if that's a deleted scene or if they ever filmed it or what.
Good shot here.
I like that he's just a vigilante.
Yeah.
And I love the foot coming in so quietly.
Yeah, while they're pulling back the camera.
Yeah.
And they're all pouring in as they're pulling back the cameras.
I'm not the one that said this, and I read it on, I can't remember where I read it at, but apologies to whoever I'm saying this from. But the Foot Clan on the roof versus Raphael is the closest we'll ever get to a Daredevil versus the Hand movie.
Oh.
In my opinion, too. It's very much those ninjas all coming around so silently on one guy. It's just really well filmed and really well done.
There's the yellow jacket again hanging on the coat hanger. I never noticed that really, but
I love them.
Still bringing it back a little bit, you know.
Oh yeah, it's just giving you those little bits. Watching the turtle versus the hare cartoon, them getting so Mike gets so into it. He's like, "Come on, ninja kick the D rabbit." I don't want to say the bad word.
Sorry, they're rooting for the turtle.
Yeah. They don't know he's going to win in the end. These cuts are great between what they're doing there totally. And Raphael getting beat up. Okay, so the size got tossed over.
He's got no weapons.
But they have the size back later on, like April's holding one, so I don't know if maybe there's other Foot Clan members that have size.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe one gets picked up along the way. I'm sure that's the explanation here.
Once again, his attitude, I love that he's smarting off to him, even though he's holding
his
back. He's a little bit tired, and he's outnumbered, but he's still pretty confident in his ability.
This is great where you see them all coming in.
How do you guys expect to beat me?
It's just really well done. But he holds his own for a while.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
He's taking them out.
I've seen the new Turtles movie.
Yes, you have.
And I've said this before on Facebook or whatever. I think it's getting blasted pretty hard for what it is. It's another interpretation of Turtles. Maybe it's not my interpretation. No, there's a lot of things I don't agree with, and there's certain things I didn't like, but it's just a movie. It's just like a fun for kids type of movie. But one thing I didn't like in that is they kind of really downplayed the history of the martial arts between, you know, Splinter and how he carried it forward. I won't spoil things from the movie, but I like that this movie carries it. You know, then Splinter is obviously very immersed for a long time, all his life, in this martial arts thing. And he's carrying on the legacy of Hamato Yoshi and then bringing it through him to them. And, you know, you feel that they're so skilled because of what Splinter taught them. And Splinter knows that from Hamato Yoshi, who was the most skilled. And I really like that carries forward and how well they're able to fight and how the odds don't matter to them.
I like also that their fighting style is sort of a signature, which is a thing with martial arts and with the old kung fu flicks and stuff. Shredder, you know, recognizes it.
Exactly.
And can't believe that it can't be from the origin.
It's gone. Yeah, he killed Hamato Yoshi.
But it's pretty awesome. And here we have a showdown of Michelangelo and this nunchuck, which is a good setup for the actual fight to happen.
Yeah.
Everybody's standing around waiting for this.
In the, I think the German edition, I can't remember, it's one of the overseas editions, they had to cut out a lot of the weapon stuff.
Oh.
So there's a lot of scenes where you see Michelangelo's nunchucks that are different in the German version, where they've had to recut it or show a different take on the scene, which I think is kind of crazy. It's kind of silly
to have
to do these different versions of films. This I never understood. Like, I don't know what he's doing here, really.
Spinning the nunchucks on his...
In his finger.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You can't do that.
But,
it's just a silly throw-in moment, I guess.
Once again, yeah, it's...
It's a cartoony moment.
Slight over the top. Just for a laugh, really.
This whole fight scene is great because they're having fun and they're doing funny things like teenagers do. But at the same time, they know that they're in a major fight here. Like it's
right,
and it's just, it keeps getting worse.
Yeah, it's got this tone right now, but it really goes downhill.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's great. Or Leonardo keeps trying to cut him. And they're fighting to kill almost here. Like it's,
they're hurting guys.
Like if Leonardo would have connected with the swords on one of those, he would have cut that guy's head off.
I love this guy. He's just
an axe guy.
If you would just
axe me
stand out here
and
hold all these axes, you mean I have to carry all these axes in here? Yeah, just We're going to need them. I promise we'll use them this time.
We're going to need them next time.
I promise this time we'll use them.
I told you the last time when you carried them that we were going to use them the next time.
Know,
this is the next time.
I know we didn't, but this is the time. I love he's making fun of his their ex.
Corey Feldman is Donatello's voice.
Corey Feldman, great, it's great. Donatello.
He is my Donatello, man. That voice is Donatello. It was such a bummer in the second film when he wasn't Donatello.
Yeah.
As much as there's a lot of things I don't like about that second film, one of the top of my list was the new Donatello voice. I hated the new Donatello voice.
This is where it sort of tone changes.
They get depressed, like, oh, man. Even though they thought that they were making some progress, yeah. And they see tattooing a ton more guys, and it's just like, oh, boy. It's like the Indiana Jones moment where he's fighting on the plane, and then the German soldier shows up, and he's like, all right, I'm coming.
Great. They're a little worn out, so they're kind of taking a beating now.
And they've lost one of their number. He's not there.
Michelangelo loves the symbols. He doesn't get a whole lot of nunchuck time in either movie.
Yeah. Now, she's got a sai there, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I think she's holding a sai where she protects Raphael.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm not... At no point, as I'm watching this, am I thinking... I'm watching fake guys in suits doing a fight thing. The entrance of Casey Jones.
This is...
Oh, so tough, dude.
So cool.
Bane's popping on his arm.
He's got the mask back on.
You know, he saw what was going on.
Right. And he knew, okay, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he already had a fight with Raph, but he's like, okay, I see that.
It was kind of a friendly fight. They both, you know, it was, you know, more like an ego fight between him and Raph. But he knows what's right and what's wrong, and he saw him getting attacked, and he's like, you know what, that's wrong.
Right.
These are the bad guys, that is the good guy.
And he knows what he's walking into, too.
He knows it's going to be a heck of a fight.
Well, he also doesn't know that all these other turtles are in here.
Yeah.
He's just showing up, you know.
All he knows is Raph.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he's just showing up to take on a bunch of guys by himself. Yeah, that takes some guts.
But yeah, at no point here am I thinking guys in suits or anything like that. I'm just thinking Ninja Turtles fighting the Foot.
Yeah, how are the turtles going to get out of this?
Yeah,
what's going to happen to Raph?
Crazy how well they did this, and how good they look. And even today, we're almost 25 years later, and I'm not at any point thinking these look fake or hokey or anything like that. They just look like the Ninja Turtles. A testament to Jim Henson and his Creature Shop, man, that they did that. They just look so real.
You know, it was hot in those suits with all that fire, fire around. Oh, this little the last throw-in thing with the message on the answering machine.
Yeah. I always wanted, and I still want, a Casey figure like that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
from the movie?
A Casey from the movie.
I always did, too.
You know what's really strange is there wasn't a ton of merchandise that came out at this time that was blatantly the movie.
No, we didn't get the movie figures until...
Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah.
Until those came out. I like the van. It's very much like the turtle van.
It's cool.
But yeah, we had like a poster book and some sticker albums and trading cards and stuff.
Things, but they just kept the regular toy line going.
And it was just like the Turtles brand. It was just they carried on the look of the Turtles from the comic or the cartoon. Yeah, Danny's having remorse.
Yeah, Danny.
Yeah, now you feel bad.
You did the wrong thing.
You made a bad move. Now Shredder's mad, and who's he going to take it out on?
Well,
this is Rat guy that's hung up, that's already dying.
Might as well. Feel like a big man. Shredhead. Beating up a
dying rat.
Helpless rat.
It shows how kind of cruel and evil he is, too. That he's not. He doesn't want to just kill Splinter. Like, he won't just kill him. He's just going to leave him hanging there until he finally dies of starvation and dehydration or whatever.
I think he's hoping now to bait the turtles.
Yeah, up until this point, though...
Does he know about the turtles yet?
I mean, he knew about them because they attacked the 4 Foot in the beginning.
Okay.
But I'm not so sure he's baiting them. I think he's wanting information from Splinter, but at the same time, he doesn't care. He almost just wants him to just sit there and suffer. This is great, too, where it's showing that, you know what, the Foot guys, you might be making a mistake being on this side. Because this guy is taking out his frustration on all of you, and is just about to kill one of you.
Right.
And I think the guy maybe that he fights here. No, I guess it's not the scene. But there's another one where it's one of the guys in the turtle suit that's in the Foot headquarters.
something something else to be said for this film is a moral. As ridiculous as the notion is of this movie, the concept of it, they're still drawing a moral from this story, you know? And it's like, no matter how much stuff you can get or what, like, doing the wrong thing and being, like, there's family, there are people that care about you, that's what's important.
Yeah.
And,
See, now Danny knows the connection between Splinter and the Turtles, but I don't think that Splinter knows that Danny knows about the Turtles.
No, I don't think so. But he can read his face.
Yeah. So Danny's looking for redemption here without saying that he's looking for redemption.
Right. He might not even know that he's looking for redemption.
No, he may not know
that. He's really just... He feels bad about what's happened.
He thinks maybe he's chosen the wrong side.
And the only thing he knows to do is seek out, you know, this channel to the good guys.
Yeah.
He knows. Well, that might be true. Your dad might care less about you.
Yeah, he may actually not care about you very much. He might have the hots for April and you're getting in the way.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Charles Pennington is a loving father.
He's a stand-up guy.
He's just working too hard.
He fired April for this kid. The sequence on the farm, getting to the farm.
I love this.
The farm sequence, everything here is great.
Yeah.
I mean, the interaction between April and Casey's great. All the turtles are great. There's a lot of stuff that's cut from these scenes.
Oh, I bet.
There's a lot. And I remember, you know, for this movie, I talked about this on the other podcast, but this movie was the first time that I really thought about things that I'd seen somewhere else that weren't in the movie. I mean, for Batman, it was partly that, but I do remember certain things from the Batman magazine or cards or the comic adaption or something like that that weren't in the movie, but... A lot of those things I saw after the movie, and a lot of these things I saw before seeing the movie, and I was wondering when they were going to show up in the movie. Like, there's a sequence with Donatello in the farm hat, and they all turn their masks sideways to fight blind, and that's not in here. There's little snippets of it in the fight scene. You can see where their masks are turned, but I was waiting for it to happen, and I'm like, that's not in the movie.
Right.
This wasn't in the movie.
Elf Casey here is... Try to just,
yeah.
He doesn't know. He doesn't really know how to give her this news that she's been fired. But she does overreact a little bit.
A little bit.
But she's a firebrand.
Yeah. I like that
she's attracted to him, and that's part of the problem.
Oh, it's the big part of the problem, and he's attracted to her.
Oh, definitely.
It's kind of like moonlighting.
It's a little like moonlighting.
I like how he's working on him, like Michelangelo's working on an injury that Donatello's got on his leg.
Oh, yeah. This whole farm sequence here allows for some let up. You get away from the New York, the classic city landscape, and it's a little brighter. The lighting, you know, is brighter in most cases on the exteriors, not this interior. And sets gets back to a kind of evens out the pace a little bit to work back up to the grand finale. Almost.
This sequence to me is, I mean, I'm not going to allude this film to being Empire Strikes Back, but this sequence is like the Empire Strikes Back part if all of the Star Wars films were one film. It's where they're at their worst moment, you know, that they've, Raphael's on his deathbed basically, they've lost Splinter, they're stuck here at this farm, the Foot Clan's in control, everything's against them right now, and they've got to kind of move back and get ready to come back again, you know, and a fresh fight or whatever. I like the friendship between Donatello and Casey. It's nice.
I do too. I like that Casey's just a guy, so he's going to be fixing the engine. Which now that I'm watching it, I never thought about this before, but Donatello's sitting in the truck waiting for Casey to fix the thing, while Donatello has been making cool stuff out of garbage for like all his life. He could make this truck work.
He can make it work. Now, each of the turtles gets a little sequence with April where she's drawing and talking about them, except for Michelangelo, and that was cut. And that is Michelangelo, and they show a little bit of it, him training in the barn, like punching a punching bag. It's just he's training, like, nonstop. Like, he's given up on being, like, happy. And all he is just getting ready to fight again. And I'm sad they cut that out.
Yeah,
because
that would have been
a neat turn, because he's letting the fact that Raph is almost dead and Splinter's gone and everything get to him, and he's like, enough with the jokes. now it's time to get serious.
Right.
Yeah,
that would have been nice to have that more clear.
Man, this is all so believable. You really feel like the sadness of Leonardo is he's sitting there. He feels remorse over what he said to him, and he feels like it's his fault for running him off, and he's just going to stay there the whole time until he gets up. I would hope that people don't look at this movie just as the cartoon. You know, that they really realize that there's more to this movie than just... There's so many levels to this movie, it won't be topped. Like, if you want a Turtles movie, this is the movie that you want.
Yeah. Casey's
so smug.
So smug and confident. I am Mr. Fix-It. Princess.
And she's like, just give it back, actually.
Shakes the hammer back, but he gives it.
Yeah.
He's trying to be playful, you know. April, you didn't have to. Yeah, you know.
Oh, this is great when it's like it falls apart on him after saying he was Mr. Fix-It.
Right.
I'm sorry if there's some silence during these parts because the farm
sequence
is great.
Yeah, sometimes you get caught up watching.
This scene right here, like the filmmakers and stuff talk about it. And they say that there is no reason that this scene should have worked. Like, There's really not.
There's a lot in this movie that should have worked.
Where it's two guys in these suits with puppeteers controlling their mouths, somebody else doing the voice, there's so much emotion in this scene.
They got the facial expressions going. They got...
Man, look how good those suits look, man.
Yeah. I noticed there's no water in the tub at that moment.
And I love that they keep him in the tub, and they keep him kind of wet and stuff like that.
Yeah, because
he's a turtle.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so right now we're seeing Michelangelo with his mask turned to the side.
Oh yeah, I see that.
So he's fighting blind. So each one of them would have taken a turn fighting blind, and Raphael was the training of Michelangelo.
Yeah,
where he's angry, and that's. That's actually Michelangelo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can see his nunchucks on the back. It's Raph's voice, and they made it into Raph. But that's actually Michelangelo. You can see the nunchucks stuck on his back. And that sequence is in the kids' book, where it talks about how he goes up to the roof. And it's more of the whole thing of Michelangelo's kind of changing his character until they talk to Splinter again or whatever.
Right.
But you'll get a couple more sequences of the blindfold training slipped in. As just fight sequences, like training montages.
I remember also kind of what you're talking about seeing things beforehand. I had a trading card set or a magazine or something that was showing Leo spending time, like more time meditating or something like that. There were a couple other shots that I remember now.
Yeah, it was... So here we got Donatello in the hat and Leonardo's is turned to the side. And we got Mikey again there, where he's blindfold training.
Oh, yeah, I see.
And Raphael would have had trouble mastering it.
I never noticed that. I never noticed it. I love this, too. You finally see their training, and it's out in nature. Like, it was the best way to train.
Coming up here, this is a great sequence.
This is great.
I will say this real quick. I want to slip this in, because I want you to notice it. When Raphael comes to the doorway after Michelangelo comes in, it's just such a real... It's a very quick thing where he's just like, hey, guys. But it just feels like an awkward teenager kind of coming into a room where he kind of doesn't belong.
Mom and
it's just really well done.
Yeah.
Really well done.
Look at Casey here.
He's making a move, man.
He's making a move.
And she's going for it. She's like, okay.
Well, you know what? He's got a little skill, it looks like. He's...
So this would have been them getting kind of hurt after the blindfold training that he needs to get.
I love this.
Yeah.
He's passing up the ointment.
Hey, guys. Did you see it when he came in?
Yes.
It was very awkward. It's just kind of, hey, guys.
Oh, Michelangelo picks up the turtle wax.
Yeah. He was waiting for that joke. He's been saving it up.
He probably did. He probably brought that.
Yeah.
He brought it from the lair.
He's like, I'm going to wait for this one until a time where somebody else is using regular ointment.
There's this point with Leo meditating. But I remember seeing it from a different angle, maybe.
It's from the side.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that picture, too.
Yeah.
I like that Leonardo's the one that first achieves this.
No.
You know, that he's the one that... You know, that he was this serious about it, and he kept trying and trying and trying.
He is the leader.
He is the leader of the group.
Regardless of what the song says.
Partners in Crime got it wrong. They think that Raphael is the leader of the group. Raphael slipped that note to him.
Yeah.
Here's a note about what we do in the group. we were transformed from the norm by the nuclear group. But I am actually the leader of the group. Leonardo was just in blue. That's it. But, yeah, so...
You know what? Turtles have never been outside of the sewer up until this point. This is probably great for them.
Oh, this is great.
When you finally get out...
Donatello found some old marshmallows. There's something to be said, too, that these suits are able to do so much.
Yeah.
They're just sitting down now, like crouching down and doing like an Indian-style seating, and they still look natural. You know, they still move naturally.
No really odd creases or anything.
Yeah, and you can look at like the current-day Batman suits, like the Christian Bale suits, and he moves a certain way, and you've got this big crease in his arm where it's got this fold and this billow, and you're not seeing any of that really here. Like, it just looks like a natural, as natural as you can be to be a mutant turtle. This is, like, the only mystical element in the movie,
yeah,
too. Which I'm fine with.
It's okay.
And it's a heartfelt scene. Plus, their eyes are closed the whole time.
Yeah, so...
So you can either say that this was really there, or this was in their imagination.
Right.
That this is happening.
Yeah, picturing...
That they wanted it so bad.
Could be recalling... Words of wisdom from Splinter. Mm-hmm. And meditating upon them.
Yeah.
You know.
It's very emotional afterwards, though, too. You see him crying and stuff, and it's just like... And you see kind of a happy smile on Raph's face. It's, again... I mean, we've said it a bunch of times already, but it's really a testament to those suits and the Henson puppeteers and just what they did on this. You can't get that kind of emotion out of a CGI character. You just can't.
You can't. And, you know, story is a big deal, too. I think a lot of... Like I was talking about comic films before, they're almost afraid to, well, we can't do this, you know, let's put another explosion in, let's put another fight sequence or whatever, and that stuff doesn't mean anything unless you have this, unless you have a story. Yeah.
I've seen a video of two of, like, puppeteers doing their work, and a lot of times their facial expressions are the same as what their character is doing.
Yeah.
And you can't get that with somebody typing a thing on a computer, writing code... And doing this and doing that, is they're making a guy smile or something like that. It's conveyed through their tool. You know, what they're doing
is
conveying through there.
Making that come to life.
Yeah.
I mean, they're... I love this moment of them just sitting out on the porch, swing at sunup.
The lighting's nice, too. Like, they're kind of caught in...
Magic hour.
Yeah.
Great shot of the turtles standing
right
there. They look so
They're
cool.
already, man. It's
this
Leo looks so tough right there.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about with the new turtles, and I don't want to be bashing all that and get into that, but just there are certain proportions, you know. There's something to having, like, it has to look cool. It can't just look like, oh, they're aliens, so it's a mess. It shouldn't look like a mess.
Yeah.
It should look cool, and they look really... proportionate and just tough right there.
Plus, their body types would work more for ninja type of stuff than the giant hulking beast that the new movie is. And I'm not going to get into bashing the movie either.
I'm drawing a comparison.
I like Casey is so disappointed. He's like, oh man.
the sound cues in this movie too. The score is good.
It's great,
and
it's never been released. The score is not released.
Wow. But the sound cues too are really, really good.
It's a shame because I really like this score a lot.
Yeah.
There's somebody that did like a bootleg version where they kind of stripped the audio away and made it. And it's decent. It's a lot of work that the guy did, and he did a great job. But I would love to have a real release of this from like La La Land or something like that, where it's just a really clean, full score.
Why not?
All right, Danny.
I'm kind of a little weirded out that Danny's been staying down here in the sewer for...
How did he even find this place? Did everybody in the foot decide... Okay, everybody gets to know where the turtle location is.
Maybe he asked a couple guys.
Maybe he could. Where's that turtle lair at?
Hey, by the way, where's that turtle lair?
Can you tell me where that turtle lair was? Yeah, he just decides that he's going to stay here now. This is his place. He's gonna order pizzas down there.
His dad probably has a pretty nice apartment.
Yeah. I like this joke from Casey, too, where they call him a claustrophobic, and he says, I never even looked at another guy.
Yeah.
Donatello says, mm-mm.
His reaction
is... He doesn't want to piss in the mouth.
His reaction is perfect.
He wants to be clear about that. Mm-mm.
He wasn't afraid or anything. He just simply answered.
Yeah. They're all having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
It's okay to be, they lighthearted every once in a while.
They found Casey's chink in the armor.
Danny's going to join in on the fun and games with the Ninja Turtles,
hey,
even
guys,
though he almost got them all killed.
I was responsible for all this, but... You could see in the sketch of Leo where his leg
one
was
leg
out.
One leg is out, and then one
and
leg
she
is
erased
in.
It.
Yeah,
she
it's
erased
a neat little touch, yeah. Man. He was sitting next to the pizza the whole time.
Yep.
Didn't notice it. And I don't think... Is any of the pizza actually gone? Looks like it's all still there. Like, Danny didn't... He didn't have much of an appetite after he paid for it.
Maybe...
No, there is a couple slices.
He had a slice
yeah.
or two.
How long has he been down there for it to already have mold on it?
Right. A couple days.
Yeah.
I guess it's probably pretty dank in
it
the sewer.
It is probably pretty gross down there. Like, it's Casey, a little weakness from Casey.
I feel his pain exactly right here. It's very hard to get comfortable sleeping on a...
It's ridiculous. Is that yours?
Yeah, it's mine.
Sorry, guys. Mike's phone's vibrating.
Sorry.
You know, we're cooking right through this. I don't think there's been a major lull. This has been a lot of fun so far. I hope that people that are listening to it are enjoying it.
I hope they're not. I hope they've turned it off by now.
That's cool. So Danny's now tortured by... guilt and what's going to happen to Splinter and all these things. So he's tossing and turning and he's got to decide what he's going to do. But again, I don't think he's ever admitted to anyone that, hey, you know what? It's my fault. And he definitely didn't tell the turtles, like, here's where you can find Splinter. That would have been a nice thing to do, to say, hey, turtle dudes.
I know I messed up.
But I can tell you where Splinter is.
Right.
How about that? How about to make up for it, I tell you where Splinter
is? I can't fully make up for burning the April's apartment down and... getting you guys beat up and captured.
How about that?
But I'll tell you where.
Manhole covers in this movie are huge.
Yeah.
And it's because of the turtle suits. They had to make them bigger than the average manhole size covers to be able to get through.
There's also no way that Danny would have been able to lift that.
No.
They're very heavy.
Danny's very strong. He's deceptively strong.
But because...
He's got guilt strength.
He does have guilt strength.
He's got guilt strength right now. He's walking with some swagger there because he's like, man, I got guilt strength going.
Guilt strength. Casey couldn't sleep, so it allows him to
see what is going on with this punk kid that showed up.
And once again, Casey doesn't go down and get the turtles. He's
off doing his own thing.
He's kind of his one-man band.
Well, I mean, and it's a good thing, too, because he can infiltrate here.
Yeah.
But the turtles, there's no way.
No, there's no way.
There's Danny's buddy playing pool. They got a high five.
Playing billiards. And...
this is cool, too.
About to do a classic. This is a classic.
Yeah, the change the clothes real fast.
Yeah, beat the guy up behind the boxes and take his outfit.
And wait, I like how earlier that Splinter had, or Shredder had said that only the highest ones can achieve to wear the doji, or whatever it is. But it's no problem for Casey to take that dude out.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing one of them.
Yeah.
In case you're just like, I'm going to take this guy out and take his outfit for
him.
He's
tough.
He's real tough.
I love that. I see also that Danny has one.
No, he's just got the bandana.
Oh, that's right. The doji is the
yeah, the mask thing. So now we get the rest of the origin of how Rokosaki's tied into it. And how Splinter learned these things.
This is the only thing that bothers me, is that before he gets mutated, he's a rat and he's practicing these martial arts from visual.
It's a crazy, ridiculous thing.
It's
from the comic, though.
Man, that's...
That's saying something that they were like...
I think the comic is
it's
fun.
It was satire,
to
begin with.
Yeah, it's very not serious.
So the fact that they went, you know what, it's in the comic, we're putting it in there.
Let's do it.
I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
I'm getting tied into these scenes sometimes. I forget that we're doing a podcast.
It's okay. That's what commentary is like.
Saki's a bad dude.
He's about to slice him up.
Now, if I remember right, it was Oroko Nagi in the comic that was his brother, and Yoshi killed him when he went to attack Tang Shin, and that's why he fled. And then Oroko Saki, the brother, goes to get revenge on Hamato Yoshi. And so they've melded the Saki and Nagi characters into one.
Oh, okay.
For this. If I remember right, it's been a while since I've read those original Mirage comics. But it makes sense to not add in another character for kids that know Oroko Saki is Shredder and all
these
things.
Yeah, you'd have, I mean,
it adds a lot more that you don't need to add in.
You'd have a lot of explaining to do. And
spin that wheel.
Spin that wheel.
Takes him 2 seconds to change.
Dust his hands off.
Yeah. He's celebrating what he's done.
Proud about it.
And there you see Danny's finally realized, you know, I'm on the wrong side. And so he throws down that bandana, but now it's too late. You got the Shred dude right behind you.
He's got that sequins outfit. Nice sparkly shirt.
The design of Shredder in the film is great.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it needs to be. You know, it's tweaking certain things from the comic version, but not to the point where it's such a far departure from what Shredder should look like to what he does look like.
And you couldn't have him just running around in a no shirt and a cape.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah, it was a pretty good balance. I was satisfied as a youngster. I think it holds up pretty well.
Yeah.
It's some of the later versions are a little extreme.
They are.
But here I can see that it's a little menacing, but he's tapping into some samurai roots.
Yeah, it becomes too much later on, where the blades get too big and
pretty impractical. But here it's just like, okay, he's got a persona he's trying to maintain.
And he's got the large blades on one hand, and the rest of it's forearm armor, leg armor, and things like that. It's not too much. It's not overboard. Oh, Casey's going to beat up on a little kid right then. He didn't care. He was going to beat up on Danny.
Yeah. Get tough with him, Casey.
And so now they know where they're back, and they're figuring that they're at the lair, and so why not send all these dudes after him? And I like that the turtles are prepared for it. You know, they know
they've been training, and they've got their four. They're back to four now.
Yeah,
three.
There was another sequence too where they were tossing the apple around. It was almost like a hot potato thing. I think it was on the farm or whatever. And it's tied in here where the steam happens and the big fight happens, and Raphael's finishing off the apple, and it's kind of tying into a lost sequence.
Make quick work of those fellas.
Yeah. No problems.
Oh, yeah. One more thing. We work in concealment.
Raphael's having fun with his brothers now. Like,
he's
no longer the outsider dude. Like, he's with them and having fun with them. Yeah, Casey, you know what? He's a giant rat. All right, cool.
He's already accepted it.
Yeah, he's very cool about accepting weird things. And again, Splinter's a puppet here.
Right.
And it works so well. You're buying the character. You're believing what you're seeing here. You're not ever, pulled out of it and gone, oh, it's two guys in a cartoon. Cool. I like a big part of Casey is luck.
Oh, yeah.
And, he doesn't have all this crazy martial arts training. He's not a ninja. No. But Tatsu is, like, a master of martial arts and everything. And Casey shouldn't win this fight, but he ends up winning the fight.
They shouldn't have stolen golf clubs.
They shouldn't have stolen any kind of sports equipment. Because Casey was going to use it.
April's just hanging out, waiting for
Mikey's
the...
helping her out. He wants to get her involved in the action.
He wants her to feel good about it.
I like that you're getting a couple different stories towards the end here. You've got two concurrent stories going on at once, or action scenes happening at one time with Casey versus Tatsu and the Turtles versus the Foot. Casey keeps mouthing off.
He's having a pretty hard time.
Hey, this guy, Elias Gutierrez, he's perfect as Casey, man.
Oh yeah, he does a great job.
It's a great melding of tough guy and funny guy.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, this here.
I'll take this out real quick here. If you could just stay over there for just 1 second, I'll get this golf club out. Oh, you lowered your eyes to the enemy. That's a mistake.
Casey, he knows sports equipment. That's what he does. He's comfortable with.
Yep.
Yeah.
Tatsu doesn't. Golf is foreign to him. He doesn't know what that club is for.
He also is not that concerned with a fair fight.
No.
Look, this guy's coming here. He's going to kick me and stuff. I'm probably going to hit you in the face with a golf club.
How about I do that instead?
Yeah, we get some more skateboard action. Here. Once again, all real. You know, somebody's got to do this.
Imagine skateboarding with that suit on.
Yeah, it'd be tough.
That'd be really tough. Plus, that's why Vial says it's a show off.
Plus, swinging and having to do all the choreography and fight these guys. He's picking out a different golf club for this guy.
Yeah, that's tough.
He's got a pitching wedge.
Yeah. Sam Rockwell just chilling there, you know.
And there's a young
diamond in the rough.
And there's a young Chris Rock, standing
young
next to
Bobby
him.
Brown right next to him.
Yep.
Danny's like, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a second. Were you the one that, like, led us to the Turtles and No, be quiet.
Casey Jones, who is the loner, still has a concept of
family.
Family and unity here. He's probably been missing it in his life.
Yeah.
You know? He's got some. Okay, Danny, good job. We support what you're doing now.
Okay. I like this. All the Foot were so tough heading down in there.
Yeah, they were so eager to be.
And now they're scrambling out of there.
Now they're scrambling out like roaches.
I like how that everything's kind of wet.
Yeah.
And gross there. Yeah. And so everything's grimy in this whole sequence. Back in the background there, I didn't know about this until I watched the Turtle Power DVD. But there was a garbage truck that pulls up, and there's a garbage man that gets out, and he gets scared, and it's Kevin Eastman, and he runs off. And I'm curious, like, why wasn't it more in focus?
Yeah.
Poor Kevin Eastman, helped create these guys.
He's way back there.
He was probably watching this film, like, I can't wait to see my cameo. And he's like, oh, it's coming up. It's coming. You can't even see me.
Good use of the
turtle ability there.
Turtle ability, and they hit it really well by having it be behind the shell.
Yep. Coming up is obviously the best fight sequence in the film, really, the one that has the most emotion to it.
Yeah, it's got the most weight behind it.
Shredder. Oh, this is great. And I'm buying that's in New York the whole time. Like, I'm not thinking about it being a set or being this. And it's just because how well it's lit.
That's some pretty tough... Leo was doing some pretty tough moves.
This is... I can't imagine this. Being in those suits...
That'd be hard.
And rolling one on top of each other again and again.
This was a big undertaking.
It really is.
I mean, to do this film...
They talked about the original budget when they first were going to do it. The guy that was going ahead with it, he said, "Oh, we can do it for like $3 million or something like that." And then it became more and more obvious that it was going to cost a lot more. Like, this is not what they hoped it would be. Just like a Hong Kong film or Hong Kong guys in these suits doing these things, and it became more and more of a thing. And he was like, he was getting really worried about the money. Oh, the Benares Earl can opener.
Yeah.
Still joking.
It's a joke, but it's also, it's not against Shredder. It's kind of just a, like, I can see some benefit to,
I like the interaction between Donatello and Michelangelo. That they're playing up that those two are very close. Like, they're funny friends.
Raph's pretty confident here.
Still having fun with it, though. Why don't you go next? Leo easily taken out.
Oh, Leo did not think that one through. No. He's the weakest of the...
Goofing around. I like that they don't attack together, really, at first. It's just kind of like... They each think that they could probably just take this guy out. They haven't faced somebody... One person where it would take more than one of them to fight him, you know.
We got to regroup. Shredder's just kind of hanging out in the background.
Yeah, he's
like,
just chilling back there. Like,
just going to wait.
Just wait you out. At this point, he doesn't know that Splinter is the rat.
Yeah.
So he just heard him say that and then come to attack him. And they try to come all at once, but they're still fighting one at a time. Again, these suits, man. I mean, just... I'm buying it the whole time.
Leftovers.
Yeah, Casey's great, man. He's...
You know... He goes after this truck, which probably would have taken more time. But I like how he doesn't have an... there's not an overuse of him doing hand-to-hand fighting. Like,
no.
He's had his moments.
Yeah.
And now he's gonna back this truck up and...
And if he happens to crush some of them, it's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal. They're just,
yeah.
They're
just foot dudes. Ah, Casey is so cool, man. Like, just all of this, like the facial expressions on the turtles, the movements, everything is just really, really well done.
Yeah.
And I think that it was in that Turtle Power DVD, and I think what it was is that they filmed it just a frame faster, so that way it would play back faster, so the movements would seem more natural and quicker and stuff, especially during the fight sequences. They would take out a couple frames to make it move faster and look better.
I thought some of it during this fight, you can kind of tell.
That's moving faster.
But the rest of it doesn't look like that at all.
I like that Leo's the one that loses control here.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that's always contained.
Yeah, he's always the sensible one. Quick little comment on Raph. He keeps, all throughout the movie, he keeps spinning his size out. Like, he has them in one grip. Like, he pulls them one way, and he flips them out in his hands. I'm just thinking about how difficult that should be
with just your hands.
Well, yeah, you could do it.
Yeah,
I think you could do it.
You could,
with
but
your
I
hands
mean,
easy. But to be wearing those prosthetic, those
you'd still have to learn it. Like, I can't just pick up a pair of sides and do that.
Yeah,
you have to learn how to do that with your regular hands. To then have to relearn it with these giant three fingered
right with two of your fingers
glove things is crazy.
But it looks really cool too. I
yeah,
whoever the guy who did it.
And Splinter standing there on the edge, totally, I don't think it's a puppet. Like, it's just, it just looks like a giant rat standing there. This is neat, the reveal on Shredder's face.
Yeah.
They don't know the entire time that they've been fighting.
Right.
This guy, this character.
And he's harbored this resentment against this rat his whole life. You know, that's kind of a sad...
It's the last connection to Hamato Yoshi that he didn't get to
kill.
There's a little bit of a goof coming up here.
There it is.
It's coming up. No, it hasn't happened yet, but he actually grabs the knife before he lets go of the nunchucks.
Yeah.
So you're going to see the knife come at him, he'll grab it, and then it'll cut to him letting go of the nunchucks. It's just a flip-flopped cut. Catch the knife, let go of the nunchucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, wasn't when he first flips the nunchucks around the spear, that was a guy's hand, wasn't it? Or...
I can't remember on that one.
Oops!
Casey just killed that dude.
He's going to kill this guy.
He doesn't care.
In a trash compactor.
Yeah, and this is how it really should be over for Shredder. Like, he died.
Yeah.
You don't live through that.
No.
You don't come back for Turtles 2.
You don't come back to the dump.
No.
The local dump. And reform the Foot Clan.
You don't do that. It's over.
Anybody who had been in the Foot Clan would be like, man, we got our butts kicked. We lost a bunch of stuff.
Danny was right the whole time.
You know what, Danny was
family
right.
Counts.
That's what the sequel should be, is Danny having some sort of church service.
Yeah, that's what it should be. it should be him and trying to convince the youth.
Having a soup kitchen.
That, you know, the family is the way to go.
Right.
There's a little tribute to Eastman and Laird coming up here, too, from Sam Rockwell. He says, check out the East Warehouse at Lairdman Islands.
Oh, okay.
Which is a little flip-flop on Eastman and Laird. He gives him the money back. Just trust me.
Okay,
cool. You gave me back the $20 you stole from me. How about my dad's antique shop and all the stuff in my house, in my apartment, the place where I live? How about I get all that back?
What about the irreplaceable things?
How about all the memories? You know, how about that, Dan?
Okay, good. I'm glad you're okay. I've got a news report to do.
Guess what, though, Danny? You're going to have to pay for all of April's stuff. And you're grounded for, like, the next 4 years.
You're grounded for, like, 4 years.
Other than that, though, we're cool. But no, he's just going to give him a hug and a kiss and say, you know what, it's all forgiven, Danny.
Well.
Dan Pennington.
It's a prodigal son type moment. He's just glad that his son realized.
He's glad his son is back. Chief Stearns finally coming into action here, too.
Chief Stearns.
He can't deny the foot now.
It's a waste.
Yeah, Chief Stearns is a real waste.
Waste of taxpayer dollars.
Chief not so stern.
Oh, okay.
Get it?
Yeah, that's good.
You get it. April's going to get everything she wants from Charles right now.
She's negotiating for it. She probably negotiated for plastic surgery.
What's she going to wear? She can wear that? She's been wearing that for like 5 days. She wore that the entire time they were at the farm.
Yeah.
She's going to wear that on air.
It's probably a little ripe.
I'll bet it's stinky.
She might have washed it on a washing board.
Maybe she washed it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
There it is.
There it was. Let's see.
You gotta get Cowabunga in here.
At
least once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they'll fit it in.
Oh, she's got some nice clothes somewhere. Probably from Danny. Probably stolen from somebody.
Yeah, he was keeping them somewhere. Yep. She might have had a blazer in the truck or something. Casey, get after it, man.
Well, I think she's got the same shirt thing underneath, maybe. Yeah, she may have gotten a jacket somewhere. Get it, Casey.
Yeah, get
go for
that.
It, man. You earned it, dude.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
They're rooting for both of them.
Yeah. It's obvious that they, you know.
Yeah.
They have a very similar, they have a connection.
They have a connection.
Pick her up.
Yeah, go ahead, go for it, Casey. This is great. A little celebration afterwards. They're having a great time. And it called back to the first part of the movie where they were going through the different words they were saying.
Right.
Donatello can't. Except Raphael's participating now. So it's been
right.
The evolution of Raphael's character from the beginning of the movie. I love that Cowabunga came from Splinter in this.
Right.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool way to get it in there. A tribute to the cartoon. But it makes him into a, you know, a funny moment for Splinter to have. And that's it, man. That's...
There it is.
And this is really how it should have ended. You know, I would have been totally happy had this movie been the last one.
Yeah.
You know, I think it really went downhill with Turtles 2 and even further downhill with Turtles 3. I think it came back up with the CGI movie, the 2007, whatever it was. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
But to end on this and to end on such a good note for this franchise and then take it such a step back for the second
movie,
it's
almost
crazy.
They almost had no choice but to make a sequel because of the money involved.
Mm-hmm. Man, they cropped that out fast, too.
And I gotta say, as a kid, I loved Turtles 2 also. I mean, I was younger than you were. I didn't notice things that I noticed.
It's definitely a kid's movie. It's more of a kid's movie than this one is.
It's a kid's movie. There are some good things in it still, I think, but it really does not hold up anywhere. It's not
like
as,
this.
Doesn't hold up the same.
I can watch this again and again, and I'll never get tired of watching it. It's just, it's a really well done, fun movie. I think about the movies between the late 80s and then into like a couple early 90s films. Like, yeah. I think about the, I really like the first, the original Masters of the Universe movie, obviously 89 Batman, this, The Shadow, The Rocketeer. I think about that string of movies and how they're all like comic booky, sci-fi, adventure films, and how much I loved them as a kid and how much I still love them as an adult.
Yeah.
And I can't say that about a lot of movies in the last 10 years, where I watched it and I want to watch it again and again and again and again and again. I'll like it when it comes out and I'll enjoy it,
yeah.
But then the rewatchability just isn't there.
One could argue that it's because of that time mm-hmm. in our lives, but there are other films from that time in my life that don't hold up
Me too.
The same way
I think about
some of these movies.
I totally agree, where I can't go back and watch them again and again and go,
right.
Hey, that's really great still. All right, so I hope we didn't bore you guys too much with this. I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Heck no.
This will not be the last of the fan commentary, action no. features commentary, whatever you want to call it. This won't be the last one that we do. So if you enjoy just kind of sitting with a couple of friends, watching a movie and talking about it, then look forward to more of these over time.
I bet you didn't even have to be watching the movie to listen to that.
I'll bet you didn't. It would have been nice, though, to follow along.
It would have been better.
So, all right, so we're wrapping this one up, and we'll see you guys next time. I got a burp.
Jeez, man.
Sorry, dude.
Whoa.